that I made back in the great age. Tell you a little story about that. Lon and I were married in February in Wisconsin, in the worst part of winter. And so because we were married in February, we decided we'd take our honeymoon at the Grand Canyon in Arizona. Great place to go on your honeymoon. So we decided to drive to Arizona because that way we could see more, it was less expensive, and we were newlyweds without a whole lot in our pockets. And so we decided to drive to Arizona, and it's a good thing we did, because once I got everything packed that I would need for that vacation, I don't think the airline would let us off. Really, I think it would have been just too much for them. So, as a young newlywed, I packed for all the possible weather we might encounter. Let me think, I packed for Wisconsin and Illinois weather, because in February it's going to be cold, and you're going to need boots, you're going to need a snow jacket, and mittens, and then they take over that. And then I realized we were going to be going to places like, Missouri. We were going to Missouri, and somewhere else down there where it's really wet. So I knew I'd need an umbrella and probably a rain jacket. And then when we got to Arizona, we were certainly expecting summer weather. And we were hoping that on the way down there, we would be staying in hotels that had swimming pools. So we had to pack our swimming gear and our hotels, because you never know what hotels have or not. And we had to pack all of our stuff for summer. Not only that, we had to pack for 8 days. Because you see, the last thing I want to do is have to go alone right on my honeymoon. So we had to pack enough clothes for 8 days, our whole time to be gone. Now, we intended to dress casual for most of the trip, because, you know, we're going to have a little vacation. But we also knew we were going to, if possible, eat at a couple of nice restaurants. So we had to pack clothes for that eventuality should it happen. Then we had to pack our camera, our binoculars, crossword puzzle books for me, magazines for me to read on the way down. We had to pack snacks, because we certainly did not want to pay the exorbitant prices at those Oasis things on the highway. You know what they talk about, the mirror Stuckies? We always used to kid about getting stuck at Stuckies, because you get stuck after paying a whole lot of money for snacks. So we took our own snacks with us. We did all that too. In short, I packed a lot of stuff, a lot of luggage. We made it. It was just the two of us in that car. We made it with all that luggage. But as our family grew to include children, I realized we needed to pack for them as well. And our first vacation with our children was to Mackinac Island in Michigan, you know where that is? And so we had, let me think, at that time we had two children going with us. And so we had to have all of our gear, plus we had to have all the kids' gears, toys to play with on the way, some games for them. We had to pack all our bicycles, because in Mackinac Island there's no vehicles, other than emergency vehicles. So you either walk or you ride your bicycle. We pack our bicycles. Then we had to pack snacks. By the time we were done, we were out of room. The trunk was full, the back seat was full, and Lon said, "Something's got to go. You're going to have to leave something behind." My first thought was, "Which child?" And I won't tell you which one I was thinking about. So Lon said, "No, that's going to work." So we had to take some things out. Now, that meant I had to determine priorities. What are the most important things to take on the trip? Obviously, our children, each other, some clothes. I'm at that island, believe it or not, there are laundromats, so you can wash if you need to. We had to have bicycles, that was important. We decided instead of all those games for the kids, we would get little car games for them. That worked out pretty well. And then there were the snacks. I mean, I packed a big thing of snacks. We decided we could take one, we had to pick our favorite. And the kids decided it was party mix, favorite of the family. So that worked just fine. We took a big sack of party mix. Well, not really big, just enough. So that all went really well. But the car was still crammed pretty full. There was an awful lot. But we stuffed the three kids in the back seat. Two kids, not three, two at that time. We stuffed the two kids in the back seat and everything else. And we set off on our journey. It wasn't a fun journey, let me tell you. The kids fought. Now, those were days when they had to have seatbelts on, so they could touch each other. And it wasn't pretty. They fought, they complained about the food, they complained that they got tired of parties. They complained about each other. And then there was the, are we there yet? Are, when are we going to be there? Are we there yet? itself. It's not something I wrote to people back home on a postcard about. They didn't need to hear about that part. But as our family grew, we learned what was most important to take when we went on a trip and what we could leave behind, the things we didn't need to have. Now we get to Paul. Paul made a very insightful statement in Philippians today. He urged all of us on our Christian journey, that's all of us, to leave behind those things which are not productive or necessary to the job ahead of us. And if you listen closely, you can hear what Paul tells us to act. Listen to this. Paul said, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Got it? You know, in the book Tuesdays with Maury, Mitch Albom tells about his weekly visits with a professor, Maury, who was dying. And he'd go to visit him every week and he'd listen to his wisdoms and he got so much out of it, he wrote a book about it. At one of these particular visits, Maury talks about all the people who are seeking his wisdom now that he's on his way out, so to speak. Now everybody wants to know what he has to say, all those wisdoms. Maury says, "I'm on the last great journey here, and people want me to tell them okay." Think about it. Really? I'd like to share with you this morning some insights, not on what you have, not on what you need to have. We do that every Sunday, but on what you need to leave behind. Now, on this Memorial Day, I know we intentionally remember those who have served this country to keep it free. Those who we have loved throughout our lives but are not with us anymore. It's an important day, and we need to remember those things. But perhaps there are also some things that we need to forgive. You know, I've given messages about forgiveness from time to time. It's an important thing to me. And partly I do that because it's something that all of us have to deal with. Every one of us at some point in time. Either we have to be forgiven or we have to forgive someone else. It's in our part of our lives. Funny thing is, from time to time, people come to me with what I call forgiveness dilemmas because they don't know how to forgive and go forward, to move forward. And it's easy for me to give that advice, but not necessarily easy for me to live it. You need to hear that right now. I am living. But what I share with people is that although we must forget and forgive the injury or the insult that has been done to us, we ought not to forget the action that caused that injury or insult. Because if we forget the action, then we're going to set ourselves up to being hurt again and insulted. So forget what's in the past and move forward according to Paul. George Santayana, who was a philosopher of the last century, said, "Whoever does not learn from the past is doomed to repeat it." Isn't that the truth? And we move on. Lessons from the past we retain and we use to guide us along the way. And do it better next time. People from the past we remember. And we're thankful for them. And again, that's why we have Memorial Day. To remember and to be thankful for those whose influence and sacrifice have given us a country and a community and a church and a family. Those we need to remember. Paul says, forgetting those things that lie behind, and we ask, what are those things we need to forget? You seem to know from personal experience just how much of a burden the past can be if one carries it around in their back all the time. And I know from personal experience, it is a burden. To function effectively, to get to your destination with only what you need, and God tells us what you need, it is necessary to unload those things that hold you back, things that are unhealthy to drag with you into the future. Things like, forget disappointments about the way life has turned out. Paul understood that. His travels with Christ were full of disappointments, rejections, and wrong turns. We too need to forget our disappointments with the way life might have turned out for us. Maybe the job wasn't all you had hoped it would be. Maybe Maybe the children didn't graduate from high school or from college. Maybe the in-laws were what you expected them to be. Maybe the house you're living in was unwisely chosen. Doesn't suit you now. You invested in the wrong stocks. And the list goes on. At some point in life, nearly everyone lies awake in the middle of the night and wonders, should I have done it differently? How could I have done it differently? Can I take it back? No, you can't. So move forward. Unpack disappointments. Don't let them burden you. Another burden we don't need to carry with us is resentment. Paul knew this well. He mentions many times in his letters how someone deserted him, someone unjustly opposed him, someone slandered him, someone let him down. Paul was hit time and time again by those who just didn't get it. Does that sound familiar? Most of us have a hit list of our own. We do. People have not always been kind to us, or thoughtful, or fair. It doesn't take much of a memory to remember words that someone should never have said. That you believe they had no right to say. It's only too tempting to collect those moments, to carry them around with us wherever we go, and to get them out and chew on them, like old flavorless gum. And just like old flavorless gum, it never gets better. It just keeps getting worse. This is why they become not stale memories of the past, dead and gone. But destructive forces of the present, wandering through our lives like some vicious animal just waiting in the bushes to destroy us. Unpack resentment. So what about past mistakes? Is your life overloaded with that burden? It's always haunting to wonder what your life would have been like if you'd taken a different turn at crossroads. 10, 20, 30 years ago. What would have happened then? A man I know helped stop in Chrysler many years ago. He said that stock just before Chrysler almost hit the bottom. And at that point, he pulled out. And it wasn't long after that Chrysler came back strong. And now the stock is worth many times more than he ever put into it. But here's what's interesting. Hardly a conversation goes by that I don't hear about that stock in Chrysler. And how he should have kept it. And I think, what good does it do you today? Move on. Unpack those past mistakes. They're worthless to you now. Omar Khayyam said it best. Also Sheldon on Big Bang Theory. You'll hear it in a minute. The moving finger writes, and having wit moves on. Not nor all your piety nor wit can lure it back, nor all your tears wash out a line of it. There it is. You can't change it. It's past, it's over, it's done. It's left behind, let it go. Forgive past mistakes that cannot be called back. Remember the man of the gospel lesson today, the one who wants to go with Jesus, but he just can't leave without saying goodbye. I have to bury my dad. I have to say goodbye to my family. The problem with this man is not saying goodbye to his family. The problem was his inability to let go of the past. He just can't seem to let it go. One more thing. Jesus Christ promises us a life of usefulness, a life of joy. To remember that promise means to forgive our disappointment with past life, past resentments, regrets. To press on. You can get rid of your disappointments, your regrets, your resentments, and say with Paul, forgetting those things that are behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. What does Paul tell us to pack for our journey? He told us to let go. Now what does he tell us to have? The upward call of God in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. Jesus never looked back. Never. Did you ever notice that in the Bible? Jesus did not look back. His face and his heart were set for Jerusalem from the day it was revealed to him who he was and who he was meant to be. way forward. The only thing that would have any significant impact and the any significant footprints on his soul were his relationship with God. That was it. That's all that mattered. How about you? What matters to you? What should matter? Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It is a day to remember those loved ones who impacted our lives in positive ways. But what would you like to forget tomorrow? No, what do you need to forget tomorrow? What do you need to let go of? To put behind you and to never look back. For your sake, more importantly, for God's sake. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are your people, your children, and you have called us to this place in our journey. I pray, Lord, that we may trust you and move forward.